Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Hey, everyone. Have you been to the Organic Gardener Podcast website and signed up for our email list? If you go there, you will get my new PDF, 7 Awesome Ways to Find More Time in Your Garden. And it's just some tips that I've learned from listening to my amazing guests who are always sharing with us super effective ways to be a better gardener. So if you head over to the organicgardenerpodcast.com and enter your email, you'll get 7 awesome ways to find more time in your garden. You can also get a copy of our ebook of Organic Gardening Basics. And just all the show notes are there, all the links to our show. So, and I'll be sending out some Golden Seeds newsletters as I get them done. And of course, you'll get a special invitation to join the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook community. Hope to see you there. So I'll just introduce you and we'll go from there. Now, the Saratoga Farmers Market, right?
Yes, that's
right.
Is what
it's called. And now, do you have your own garden and your own little farm, or you're just the manager of the farm of the market?
I have a very humble plot. I actually live just outside of Saratoga, and we're in a rental home, so it's not set up for me to have a very big garden plot. But I grew up 100%. My mom gardened and grew everything that we ate, so it's something that, you know, I've always been connected to. It's, you know, it's a part of life. I think I'm a little bit spoiled working at the farmer's market because I pretty much get showered with produce. Every time that I'm there, a vendor has something that can't be sold or just want to be kind. Hey, have a cabbage. So they've kind of crippled me a little bit in my own gardening here at home. But if I weren't at the market and I had more space to garden, I'd certainly be an avid gardener. But we do have grapes and pears, and we run an herb garden in the summer, and typically have a big crop of tomatoes. But that's just about as far as I personally go these days.
That's pretty good in a rental property.
It is. I'm actually pretty proud. And it's very sandy here. We've had a lot of soil mending that we've had to do. But yeah, that's pretty much how I eat. But growing up, it was all about the garden. My mom was always in the garden in the summers, and we lived in the Adirondacks, and it's a very short growing season. Oh. And canning, pickling, she was amazing. She was really a great role model and really kept me in touch with that. Even when I, you know, went off to college, I was always very appreciative of all of the hard work and that ethic that she instilled in all of us to know where our food came from and to be connected to that. And actually later in life, I was working a very monotonous management job that was, you know, the typical 9-to-5. And it, something in me just broke. And I left that job to work on a berry farm, actually outside of the Albany, New York area. And that was where my farmer's market history began, because the farmer who worked at the berry farm was involved with the farmer's market in Saratoga. And I loved that experience. It was so, I don't know if it was coming from a desk job to kneeling in the dirt and berry, you know, strawberries are no easy, that's not really an easy, easy crop to grow or to harvest. It's a lot of time on your knees and bending over. But the experience was so wonderful. I love that. I still love that farm. I'm very connected to that family and to that farm and their berries, of course. My baby girl eats those berries every summer. And we freeze them. So she eats them really actually all year.
Nice. That's a great thing because, you know, everybody's, you know, there's the big smoothie movement and people love frozen strawberries and they do cost a fortune. And then they're probably maybe organic strawberries, which they say, you know, strawberries have some of the big toxic poisons that we all are staying away from. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to kind of like edit that in and then I'm going to go back to introducing you really quick. Okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Because that just answers, that's all right. That's perfect. It goes, it flows right into your first gardening experience. And like I said, it's easy to edit and it was better just go. So I'm just going to quickly go. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast today. I am just thrilled to introduce my guest because we're going to talk about something that a lot of people talk about on my show. A little bit different, but I think lots of people will be interested. She's from the Saratoga, New York Farmers Market. And so she's the market manager. So she's going to answer some of those questions about, you know, how to get into a market or what kind of things if you're starting to sell produce, or maybe some of the things you might find if you're interested in shopping at the farmers market, or just some different things about the farmers market. But she has a huge background in gardening. And so I'll stop talking and be introducing Julia Howard. So welcome to the show, Julia.
Thank you, Jackie. It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm just so excited because I reached out to a bunch of farmers market managers, and because my schedule is so busy, you're the first one that I've been able to get to come on and talk to. And I have been thinking about doing my challenge for this year, because I've had a lot of listeners interested in a gardening challenge, but I haven't quite figured out what it should be. And one of my things, after talking to Jean-Martin Fortier from up in Quebec, I thought about just making it to just bring something to the farmer's market or to go to a farmer's market on a consistent basis, because that's been one of my challenges with my husband. I've gone a few times. I mean, we're not really set up to grow, or maybe this year we're going to be for our market, but I've gone with some lettuce sometimes and nobody bought any of my lettuce, and I've gone a couple of times with a few different things and just nobody bought anything, and it hasn't been the best experience for me, so I'm a little shy about it. And then I've had a lot of guests talk about the best thing to do is approach the market manager or other farmers at the market and see, you know, what would be a good, you know, don't just be like, well, I like eggplants, so I'm going to sell eggplants, and like just go with like this is what I'm going to do, as it's better to kind of ask some questions. What's the need? Like one, David Wolverton down in Arley talked about, the market manager said, we need tomatoes and you got to do something about the price of the tomatoes. And so he kind of took that on as a little challenge. And so I'm hoping you're going to answer some of those questions for us today.
Oh, absolutely. Because that's a big thing in farmers markets. You want to make sure there's diversity, no oversaturation. And there are also some tips to being, you know, to kind of selling your product. Not everyone is a natural salesperson.
Exactly.
And it's hard to stand behind, you know, a table and have something that maybe six or seven other people have. What makes it different? Mm-hmm. You know, how can you make that appealing to the customer base when they can get it right next door? So, yeah, there's a lot to that. So I'm happy to shed some light.
Another thing that David told me that I was surprised about, or just, I don't know, maybe talking to different people, has been that, you know, a farmer's market is not a success with only one vendor either. The more, you know, you need to have a certain amount of vendors. And he talked about one of the challenges is the, being on the board of their farmer's market was getting enough vendor. You know, we're in Montana, so it's a little bit smaller, but, you know, having enough vendors there to make it so people want to come. And I know, like in my little town in Eureka, we have that challenge too. Naomi Wheat has done a great job of building our farmers market and like getting some music there, and it's gotten a lot bigger in the last 2 years, but I know in the first few years it was really a struggle. So I think that's it. Also, like working more as a cooperative than looking at it as competition. And then another guest I had, Joyce Pinson, talked about sampling. So I don't know if you're going to touch on that, but she said she can sell zucchinis all day long for $3 a pound, where the person just sitting next to her can't sell one for 50 cents because she has like a little stove that she cooks and tastes people. So that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Okay. I do always like to start the show asking about your very first gardening experience. You know, like who were you with? Were you a kid? Were you an adult? And I know we touched a little bit on your mom in the pre-chat. So maybe we'll just move on to, do you want to tell us, is that how you learned how to garden organically? Was it from your mom? Is that what she did? Or
it was growing up literally in dirt, working next to her, weeding, understanding the growth cycles of plants, throwing things in the compost pile. It was that entire experience of just being in it as a child. And I wasn't always You know, I mean, there have definitely been long periods of my life where I didn't grow a thing. I had some house plants in a window, and that was that. You know, lived in a city environment, didn't have access, didn't have the motivation. But it's always been with me, and it's an education that's never left me. So she did good. Mom did right.
All right. So let's just go right to the farmer's market thing. Like, do you want to talk about what your suggestions for people?
So let me give a little bit of a background to our specific farmer's market, because so every farmer's market is different, right? Mm-hmm. every town is different. Every need is different for a food, for local agriculture, etc. So our farmer's market was founded in 1978. We have been a really long-running farmer's market, and we began with just a couple of farmers, really humble beginnings in a parking lot in downtown Saratoga Springs. Currently, we host a year-round farmer's market. In the wintertime, we have on average 40 vendors. So we have an indoor location right now, and that's from November to April. Then we move to an outdoor location in a beautiful park from May to October. And at our outdoor market, we host about 60 vendors. So our market, we have a history of growth, and the pun is completely intended, because it is every year this market changes and it evolves, and we really rely on our customers, the community, and we are a cooperative. I mean, we all work together to make the market the best that it can be. It's not an easy feat, and we deal with challenges that come up every year, but every year we grow. So that's a really good sign. Especially, I don't know if you've heard, there's been recent statistics on a decline on farmers markets.
No.
Most markets are down 20 to 70%. So this is a national study, and some farmers at, specifically the Saratoga market, have said, we see that there's a transition in who's coming to the market. We've got a lot of women. We've got a lot of women in the age group of 50 to 65. If there's a season, we have actually a horse racing season in August, where a lot of the locals leave. Our business slows down dramatically when most markets might pick up. Ours dips in sales. So there are a lot of factors to who's buying what and when, but essentially Saratoga Springs is a really health-centered city. So we really are able to pick up on the farmer's market as part of people's lifestyle. So we've been really fortunate in that regard. But our market is really unique because, well, there are a few reasons. We are truly local, and local to us is Saratoga County and three counties around Saratoga. So if someone is bringing a product that is, outside that area, they may not be considered to vend at our market before someone who is right in Saratoga. We also have a standard that everything that is sold has to be, we're a producer only, so it has to be produced by the business. So we can't have someone that's, sometimes we've had Avon ask if they can sell products, and we say no, because you have to be making that product. So those are a couple things that make us, stand aside from, I think, some other markets. We also have a very, very strict percentage of agriculture, that we are predominantly an agricultural market. We have actually a ratio that we have to keep. So we are 70% agriculture and then 30% everything else. So everything else is like crafts, prepared foods. And when we say agriculture, if someone is making cheese, it would be if they have those goats, sheep, cows on their property that they are raising, and then making a product from that. So to us, that's agriculture. So we have a pretty set standard.
Okay. So I guess, I don't know, if my first question is, like, where are you getting food in the middle of winter in Saratoga?
Oh my goodness, this is awesome. So we have so many farms that grow under high tunnels. So literally they're growing in the ground all year, but the earth is covered with a high canvas tunnel, similar to a greenhouse. So they are growing fresh spinach, arugula. We also have a huge hydroponic farm that has fresh tomatoes, fresh herbs, garden greens year round. The three main farms that are currently vending at our winter market have high tunnels, and then we have the one hydroponic. So that's how we get the summer produce all winter.
Wow.
So storing, professionals at growing outside of, a climate zone where something, shouldn't typically be growing.
Do you want to talk a little bit about where you are? Because like I have listeners all around, a big listenership in like Australia. Like, so you're in northern New York, right? Like I grew up on Long Island, so I know, but maybe someone in Texas or New Zealand or something doesn't know. Do you want to just quickly touch on that?
Absolutely. So yes, we are in the Northeast. We are considered upstate New York, and we are so if you Albany is the capital and is kind of towards the east but central, we are about an hour further north.
Oh, okay. And so you have 4 full seasons, a winter, summer, and probably right now, like my temperature, I think a month, I woke up to snow. That was the other thing. I opened my door, I was like, snow! And my car was covered in snow. Do you guys have snow right now?
Yeah, but today it's interesting. Today is kind of a fluke. We're going to have a 60 degree day in February. It's going to be 60 out today, Jackie. But yeah, we do have snow. We've got a couple of feet on the ground, and it's been about, in the 30s during the day, 40s, but we're having a couple really gorgeous warm days just to kind of melt some of this ice. So that's not a bad thing necessarily, because a lot of the fresh greens and tomatoes at the market have been stunted because it's been so overcast. Even though they're in a greenhouse, they still need that sun to get through. So everything has been really slow. We've got it, but it's always in limited quantities.
Nice. Okay. Well, hey, this is awesome because right off the bat, people are going to be encouraged and be like, wow, if they're growing spinach and things in high tunnels in Saratoga, New York, in the middle of winter with 2 to 3 feet of snow outside, I better try that. And that's been something my husband and I are working on. We applied for this program last year to try to get some high tunnels and we didn't get approved, but they said that our application would just automatically be relooked at this year. So we're hoping for this year. Our big problem's been we just dug a well. We didn't have like the water to grow a couple of years ago. We just had a shallow well. And so I think
Okay.
maybe they gave the money to somebody who's a little bit further along than we are. So, but anyway, I think that's going to be very encouraging to people. So do you want, well, just what did you want to talk? I was just going to ask about like if somebody's new and they wanted to approach a market.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay.
So, at our market specifically, if you want to become a vendor, we accept vendors twice a year by season. So either you apply for our summer season or you apply for the winter season. And so basically we try to keep it as simple as possible. So the application for our market specifically is online, and they pay a processing fee of $25 and their application gets in, and it's reviewed by a board. So our market is run by a board of 12 farmers and business owners. So we're really proud to still be our own entity. Like we are, it's the city isn't running us, community members aren't running us, like the business owners are running the actual market. So the application is reviewed, and a little bit goes into that because we do make sure that what someone is applying to sell won't oversaturate the market. But let's say we need honey and we have an apiary or honey vendor apply. They would get into the market and they pay for a one flat rate for their stall. And it's for the whole season. We've really found that a market our size gets kind of crazy when people are paying, week to week. And space and layout is always important. important. We're always really trying to do the best for our customers. So it would be like, we try for consistency, basically. We try not to mix things up too much, mess with, you know, where someone's favorite farm is placed, because it becomes, you know, their every year thing. They look for a farm in a certain place. So we try to keep that consistent.
How big is it, like, space-wise? And if it's not in a parking lot, you said you started in a parking lot. Where are you at now?
So right now, our winter location, so Saratoga Springs, really interesting, because we have, we're really well-known for water, natural springs. So we are in a state park in Saratoga, and we're actually in a historic bathhouse that is now kind of like the park headquarters, and it's a long, gorgeous Grecian-looking building. And we've been there for, this is our third year at this location for the winter, and it's perfect. It's perfect for the farmer's market. And we do pay to be there. We pay a good chunk to the state of New York to be there. But it's a great venue. It's got plenty of parking. And then in the summer, we do have a permanent home for our summer market. And it's in a park that's in downtown Saratoga that's really, really close to, like, the main drag where all the cool eateries and shops are. So it's such a great location, because while it's not right in the middle of things, it's, you know, it's so connected to the city that someone walking around just to see the sites would happen upon the farmer's market, where we'd see a sign that says farmer's market this way, we're open today. So we're in this beautiful park during the summertime, and it does give us ample space to expand. We are pretty restricted in our indoor location as far as space. That's kind of a headache for me, making sure that we all fit and that everyone has, you know, access to electricity and such. But outdoor, we actually have, you know, the ability to expand, and we would like to expand. So when a vendor comes on board with us, they get an acceptance letter, and we do approve their products, like I said, to make sure that there is diversity and not oversaturation. And then once you're in, you're in. You can set up your stall, sell however you would like to sell. Displays are always extremely important. Signage for your business, extremely important. Offering recipes, offering samples, huge. Putting down that cell phone, having a smile on your face, being willing to engage with the customer, teach them something new, teach them what makes your farm different. So it's actually a really great educational experience, just visiting the farmer's market. Even if you don't buy anything, if you're just there to have open eyes and learn, and, you know, what is a kohlrabi? How does that grow? You know, these farmers are there to tell you, to teach you too. You know, it's not just a consumer experience.
I love it. I love going to the farmer's market. The farmer's market in Missoula, I would go there every summer if I could afford it and figure out how to get down there. Cause it's like a 4-hour drive for me. But like, and plus, you know, it's Saturday morning, like it's, since a 4-hour drive, I'd have to leave really early just to get there by like 9 or 10 or even before it closed at noon. I am an early morning person, so that's not that hard. I don't know why it's so hard for me to get to, but I just love to look. And so then I don't really buy a lot of produce to bring home because it is a 4-hour drive, but it is just so fun to see the other people that are there and just see all the good food and talk to the different, I just love the whole vibe of it. So I love all of that. And I love that you talked about, you know, it's an educational experience. And so a chance to, and G. Martin Fortier, he said that that's one of his favorite, like, cause I always have that question, what's your favorite activity? And that was definitely one of his favorite things. And he was very encouraging about going to the farmer's market, that it's just so fun to meet people who are buying your product. And he's so proud of what he grows. And so, I think these are all great things. So, and I did have another person talk about signage. So I don't know, what do you want to, do you want to expand on some of those things?
Sure. I mean, and there's so many things. I mean, part of my job at the farmers, well, gosh, the entire farmers market operations is basically my job. So it is something that when it comes to a farmer who, you know, just sets up a little table and doesn't have, oh my gosh, I actually dealt with that this season with a meat vendor. So meat's kind of hard to display, right? It's not always gorgeous produce. Sometimes someone's hauling around just a bunch of bags of ground beef. So I had this really, you know, he's a great farmer, and he has a beautiful farm, and he would show up to the market with just a cooler. And, you know, I walked by him a few times, and we also actually have some policies in place that say, all right, so you don't have to have some gorgeous sign, but you have to have pricing out. You have to have, you know, actually a list of, you know, some sort of, you know, this
I
is what I've got.
I love that. I hate when there's no prices on stuff.
And it's, yeah, it's true. And it's not just for customers. It's also for vendors, because we price check each other. You know, if someone's offering, if five people are offering tomatoes, sometimes you'll see a vendor go walking down the pavilions at High Rock Park and look at everyone's tomato prices and then mark theirs a little bit lower. So we are also a competitive environment. We encourage that. I mean, we encourage that tactfully, but we want people to be able to sell things in the best manner possible and to make money, because we're all about that local food system. That local food system is what makes Saratoga Springs unique, and it's what keeps the farmers market in operation and all of the local farms. And it keeps, oh my goodness, it keeps, you know, diversity. It keeps us, you know, our environment healthy. There's so many, it's such a trickle down of cause and effect. So this one particular farmer, I finally said to him, I said, oh, I am just going to be straight. Are people looking at you like they have no idea what's happening here? He said, yeah. And I said, well, let's get a board with some of your cows on that. Let's get something that says, you know, I am Norseman Farms. This is what I've got. Price list for sure. And things slowly started picking up for him. He still has some ways to go, but it's something that, you know, vendors, business owners have to be conscientious of. We are, you know, literally a pop-up market. So whereas at a store, you're constantly working on your display, you're constantly saying, hey, this sign could be better over here. You just kind of get one shot every week. And I should also add, so we are a Saturday market during the winters, but in the summer, we actually have a Wednesday market as well. So, and it's much smaller, but.
And is it during the day or at night on Wednesday?
It's late afternoon, so it's 3 to 6 on Wednesdays. Okay. And this market in particular has been struggling. I've been in this position. I've been working for the market for 5 years now, but mm-hmm. I was kind of had humble beginnings as a market assistant, which basically I assisted the market in several ways, but now I'm actually kind of running the show. So I do the events and I do the children's programs and schedule
the
musicians.
Children's program? What events?
So we have an amazing children's program. So basically our market, when I came on board as the administrator, I made a commitment to offering a children's activity every week if I could, but really striving for a weekly activity. So basically the only way I could wrap my head around offering a weekly activity was to ask everyone in the community for help. So the library comes and does an activity, and you know, they just have a small table, but they get slammed with children. So at our Saturday market a few weeks ago in the library I attended, they had 42 children do their craft, which is pretty good. Yeah, so I really look for nonprofit organizations, any kids charities that want to also kind of benefit from that cross promotion.
Yeah.
If I don't have anyone helping me, then the best / most popular activity has just been a table covered with crayons, markers, paper. Kids, draw your favorite fruit or vegetable, show the honey man, and get a free honey stick. That is one of the most popular, you know, the most popular thing. And it's a fun break in the day for parents and families. It makes it a little bit more of an outing and an event and an opportunity to kind of soak up the atmosphere. Whereas at a grocery store, you just kind of run in, get what you need, and run out. There's not really like a let's stop and learn about our food kind of thing. Let's buy and go and not have any connection to it. That's exactly what I'm trying to counter. So during the summer, when kids are out of school, we do an awesome kids program. We really amp it up. And this program is called the Power of Produce Club, and the acronym is POP Club. And it's something that we picked up from the Farmers Market Coalition, which is a national organization that promotes and supports farmers markets. So we followed the POP Club model, and it was a huge success. And the model of POP Club is that kids show up to the market, they engage in a super fun educational activity, and then once they have completed the activity, if they are kind of a money understanding age, they get a $2 wooden token to spend on fresh fruits and veggies at the market. So that is Power Produce. It's let's learn, let's engage, let's taste, touch, feel, enjoy an experience, and then let's get given a $2 token to go and buy a fruit or a vegetable. And all of the veggie and fruit farmers are on board with the program, so they all accept the tokens and redeem them through the market.
And that's what I was curious about, like, who pays for the $2 token? Like, does the vendor just give away that $2 thing, or does somebody replace that $2 to the vendor, or how does that work?
So I write for funding. And so last year we split we have a local business called Stewart's, and they're chains. They're throughout New York State. They're like a gas station convenience store. They sponsored our program last year. And then I matched it with the market. So the program in itself ended up costing us just over $1,000 for those $2 coins to get handed out all summer, which isn't bad. But I'll tell you, Jackie, that's something that we struggle with, because funding for these programs is so hard to get. And we are just now on our path to being a nonprofit. So we're currently for profit as a farmers co-op. And so it's really hindered our ability to pursue things like Power of Produce. I kind of have to beg. I beg around for money. it sounds bad, but it's what you have to do. If you don't have the money to fund a program, you have to say, hey, I've got this great program, will you help us? And more often than not, people say yes. But that's been a challenge for our market in particular, is getting funding for these really great programs. And last year was our pilot for the Power of Produce Club, and I was afraid to advertise it. I didn't want it to be too successful because I was concerned about the money aspect, but it ended up being a really good experience for the market. And we had about 35 to 40 children attending throughout the summer POP Club. It was great. And then as far as events go, I've learned, you know, the market is, that's something I always struggle with, because sometimes people don't want to come to a farmer's market with all this pomp and circumstance. They just want to come and shop, maybe hear some music, but ultimately just focus on the food. So after, you know, a few years of seeing, you know, what events work, what don't, which events don't work, now I know which ones that we will, you know, consistently host. So upcoming in March is our Spring Festival. And that is an event that offers several educational workshops for people to attend. So last year we did beekeeping. Our honey man did a beekeeping presentation. Our mushroom man did mushroom cultivating. We're very connected to our cooperative extension. I don't know. You guys have cooperative. That's national. So a cooperative extension frequents our market very often. We've got one woman who does food sampling and, you know, offers recipes. And she did a presentation on food preservation. So it's really awesome that now we're at a point we know what people want. And typically, they want the education. And that's where we actually have, you know, a role to play in the community. They come out for a food demonstration. They want to see how things are cooked. They want to see how things are prepared, and they want to learn. So that's where I, as a market manager, take a stand on knowing that that's very important to offer. Let's do it. Let's schedule it. Let's give the community, you know, leverage to buy your products. So that's kind of, you know, that's how I work with events and kids clubs. They're very important.
Okay, so I just, what's going in my mind, like, where does the presentation happen? Like, at their booth, or do you have, like, a little place set up, or, like, a stage, or how does that work?
I do it all. I usually look for, the night before the market is when, you know, a vendor might cancel. I look for the very best possible spot that's going to be consistent week to week for basically a 10 by 10 pop-up tent. And then I set it up that morning, and then it's all, you know, it happens pretty fluently. With Power Produce Club, I knew that it was always important to have that tent in the same place every week. So when the board got together and we did a market map for the summer, I said, this is going to be our kids club area. That's never going to change. So that's kind of how I've been running the kids club. And with events, it's really, I have to go with the flow. I have to know what space is open, because I could never move a vendor out of their, you know, historic spot.
Right.
I'd have to look for whatever, you know, really whatever I have to work with. And that's something I really put a lot of thought into the night before every single market.
I know how that goes. I put a lot of time into my seating charts for my kids in the school in the morning, so it's probably very similar. The other thing I was thinking about is just because, like, my goal, like, my real dream is to be a children's book artist, and so I'm thinking, like, you know, children's book authors might, because I read this blog post called what was it, like, Bookstore Love, about how bookstores love to have authors come and read a story. So they might be some people, if you have some local children's book authors to reach out to. And that might be a good idea. I might post that in my SCBWI children's book Facebook group and say, hey, you might reach out to your local market vendor.
That's a really great idea. I encourage anyone in the community to reach out to your, you know, farmer's market manager, because there are so many opportunities. I get summer interns, and I've got the hardest time putting our internship in a box, because it can be whatever experience you want it to be. If you want to learn about marketing, oh, you'll learn about marketing. If you want to learn, you know, if you want to be more into photography, oh my gosh, yes, take pictures of everything. Instagram, Facebook, social media, newsletter, you know, whatever area that's kind of an interest, it can funnel right into your local farmer's market. So, yeah, there are really no bounds.
Do you want to talk about the social media piece? No, just go ahead.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'd love to. You know, the other thing that I wanted to touch on before our time is up is nutrition assistance. We are all about food stamps, and the state of New York has awesome nutrition assistance programs for people that, you know, don't have enough money to buy healthy food. So that has also been a huge asset to our market, and we're all about it. We have a program right now. So our market, if someone shows up to the market, doesn't have any cash in their pocket, they can buy wooden tokens from us, and the vendors are all on board with the token program. They redeem their tokens with the market, and then we write them a check for whatever they turn in. I hope that makes sense. So our SNAP EBT food stamp program kind of winds right into the tokens. So if someone is on food stamps, they can come to the market, use their food stamps and to buy tokens. And there's even a program that's running right now in the state of New York.
Just your typical Skype drop call. Nope, no worries. Hey, Skype is free. It's all good. It happens almost every time. Yep.
Oh, okay. Yep. So, yeah, I was going on and on about food stamps at the market. So someone can come with their EBT card and, you know, purchase tokens from us. And we have a program right now that's offered by the state of New York called Fresh Connect. So for every $5 they spend at the market, they get a $2 coupon for free food. Nice. So it's really awesome. Like, and this is specific to the state of New York, because the state of New York is so supportive of local farms, or of farms in general, of New York State farmers. In fact, and I don't know if this is still a thing, but farmers in New York State don't have to pay a throughway toll. There's so many little perks to being a farmer, and there's so much money out there as far as grants go for first-time farmers, for new farmers. It is such a good place. Hey, if you want to be a farmer, come to New York. But also start these programs in your own state or in your own country, because it's so important to keep this sustainable food system cycle. You know, it's so huge. I mean, we have so many people who have lost touch to where their food comes from, how it's grown. You know, I mean, we're buying apples that get shipped to China and then are waxed and then back to the States. It's such a complex web that is so simple when it's focused on in the local, you know, in a local context. Okay, I just totally I left my nutrition assistance program topic. But there was something else I wanted to touch on, Jackie. What was that topic that just sprouted up few minutes ago? I could go on and on and on about farmers. Social media. Yes.
Okay.
Social media. So our market has, like I said at the very beginning, it's transitioned quite a bit. And one of the big transitions has been employees, what they're going to do, how we're going to pay them. And right now I've kind of picked up the job of we typically have like a clerk to handle the tokens. And then there's, you know, in the past we had a promotions officer who did events and who did social media, the newsletter. And then we had a separate market manager, and now the market board has fused a lot of these, responsibilities with my position.
Right.
And are pretty fortunate because I'm able to take them on, and I really feel like I've been successful so far, and hopefully it continues. But social media has been one of those things that really just got left in the dust for our market for a very long time. And it just, you know, accounts were created and never maintained. And then when I came on as the administrator, I actually really wasn't an advocate to do them myself. At the time, about a year and a half to 2 years ago, I personally didn't have an Instagram. I had never tweeted, had no interest in doing these things at all. But we worked with our local college, who has a business consulting program for students to kind of, you know, get hands-on experience with consulting a business and helping them be the best they can be. They worked with the farmers market, and they really shined a spotlight on the fact that social media had fallen by the wayside. So I'm a pretty proud person, and I went full throttle, and it has been huge. Instagram especially, people really like to see a face put to the farmer's market. They really like to see luscious photos of food. Facebook is a little bit more of a challenge for us. I kind of find that Facebook, feel like you have to pay to play, you know, and that's something that on a budget I have to be very careful with. If you want anyone to really see your posts, you often have to do a paid ad. Otherwise, very few people will respond. So that's been a little bit more challenging, whereas Instagram, it's easier. Twitter, I'm still not, you know, I don't think I'm using Twitter to the fullest, you know, potential, but there's definitely, you know, to be present, to just catch people's eye, it's vital, you know, and they're free opportunities. So it's like, why would you not take a free opportunity to give your business a boost? And it's, you know, as part of my job, it's something, of course, I'm paid to do, but it's something more than that. I encourage every vendor to, oh my gosh, get an Instagram account so I can tag you. It takes just a minute. I often give very short consultations to farmers and vendors. Hey, do a Facebook post. I need to tag you on this. You know, this is free promotion for you. And then I get more responses. So when it's something that, you know, I do as an isolated act for the market, it's so challenging to really be successful. But when you get, you know, your team of 60 plus business owners all on, you know, all on social media. So you're tagging and it gets crazy and it's really fun and the likes go through the roof, then it's a really powerful tool. Then you're exposing, you know, one single post to thousands of people, whereas maybe, you know, 50 might just see it. You know the ins and outs of social media, so I won't go on and on. But it's really, for a business that's, you know, like a farmer's market where you have so many players involved, it can be so powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just keep thinking about this woman, Anastasia Cole Palacios, wrote a book called The Farm on the Roof. And it's about it, but it's more about entrepreneurship and, you know, selling, because they were really, really big about making their farm profitable. They didn't just want a farm. They didn't want to just grow food. They wanted a successful business model. And I just always hear in my head this guy Chase that was on their team that did their social media. They said they would look at him sometimes with his feet up and his, you know, sitting there playing on his phone and kind of be like, what's he doing? But they just saw the huge impact and how it would have people come to their events, how his posting would, you know, they could directly link the sales and their profit to his posting on social media. And I just think that's so important. And yeah, Facebook is definitely changing. I see the same thing with, like, I wonder why do some posts, you know, I kind of look at my numbers are really small, like 50 likes is huge for me. You know, most of mine are like 20, but one thing I have noticed about Facebook is that, I get a lot more likes if I upload a picture that I've actually taken, whereas if I just share something that somebody else has done, that makes a big impact on the number of likes and people who see it. But for sure, I haven't done as much with Instagram. I'm thinking, but I know people, the guy who heads my podcasting group, he does tutorials on Instagram Live, which I didn't even know what that was, but you know, everything's live. Facebook Live, Instagram Live, Snapchat, I don't, you know, I was a big fan of Snapchat for a long time, but then they made it hard to like save the picture to my camera roll, and that kind of just lost me right there. But you know, Snapchat Live, you know, it's all those live things are really big. And just, you know, to me, I mean, I'm a Facebook fan through and through. The only thing I have noticed big power is Facebook groups. You might look into having a Facebook group for your farmers market and your regular farmers market people. There's a woman, Katie Kermitzos, who has her business is called Businesswoman Rock, but there's lots of men in the group, but she to me is the master of community. And she really talks about the difference between, like, if you have a podcast, the difference between a listener and somebody who's in your Facebook community. She really makes you know, just a big difference between a customer and a member of your community. And she just builds that through community type of stuff. So I don't know. I'm certainly not the master, but my point was, I have seen the Facebook constantly, like, want to boost this post for $5, you know, this many more people can see it. And I know they've really gone that way, but in the same token, look what Facebook has done for free. You know.
Oh, I know. So true. It's so true. And I almost feel like they just caught on to how powerful they knew. I'm sure they knew, but they caught on how willing people would be to pay. But it changes so fast. Like, even just going live, that's something that I don't do enough. I've got to do that more often. And it's also, you know, I am more of, when it comes to social media, there's something personally that I don't know, like, my since doing the markets, my personal Facebook is frozen in time. So so it's almost like part of you has to be more of an extrovert that has nothing to do with your own ego. You know, it's tricky doing it for a business because it's always like we, there's no I, you know, it's today we're doing this. It's not like, it's not about you. It's about this bigger entity, and I've got to go live. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah, and it's scary to go live, but you know, at the same time, I don't know. We all got to try it or something. For me, it's even just like making video. And then the other one that drives me nuts with my cell phone, because like I've been making some videos for my classroom, is like on my iPhone, the files are so big. I could barely, like, I have to transfer it onto my computer. I have to like shrink the file in QuickTime, which is pretty easy to do. But just like what happened, like the whole point of getting the phone was that I could upload it straight. You know, I was hoping it would be down in the garden, upload. And like these videos are like less than a minute. I'm like, how do people do a 3 and 4 minute video? I don't know if I'm doing something wrong, but like it just seems like that's the one thing I get frustrated with, is like even if I take a video. One thing I did notice, I was surprised that people like it if I take a video. I thought they would want to see me, but they don't really want to see me. They like it like when it's like they're looking over my shoulder, like when I've taken videos of me doing my art. Or actually, I did the subtraction video once, and I thought I put two videos up, and one was like me, and then one was like me using my checkbook. One was me using my whiteboard, and one was just, and they really like the one of looking over my shoulder. So if you're nervous about Facebook, and I tell my husband this all the time, you don't have to be in the picture. It could just be you talking, narrating, right. What are you doing? So I don't know if that helps you.
I think that's anyway. More powerful too. Yeah, people really want that experience of the experience. They don't, you know, like they want to, that's like the whole virtual thing, right? You know, they won't want to stand in someone's shoes and have, you know.
Well, how great is that virtual thing? For me, like a big one that I love is seeing skiers. Like because I'm so afraid of heights, I could never get on a chairlift. I can barely drive up the mountain. To get to see what it's like to go skiing on a mountain is so cool. So like to get to see what it's like to go to a virtual farmer's market, you probably practically taste the produce, smell the produce, look at it. Anyway, Julia, it has been so fun, but I am in my classroom and my kids are going to be walking in the door any minute. So before we go any, we better wrap this up. Is there anything we've forgotten?
Oh my goodness. I am sure there is, but it was good coverage, Jackie. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really, this was fun. It's my first podcast. No, I think we really, you know, we covered a lot about the farmer's market, you know, becoming a vendor, who we are, what we do, the importance in the community and beyond. Yeah, I think we did pretty well out of this 45 minutes. Thank you again.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us, and just good luck with everything and for helping support local farms and local foods. And I am going to just quickly ask. I always like to ask my final question. I'm so frustrated with my podcasting guy because he quit asking his final question. So I am just going to my final question. It's kind of a doozy, but it goes like this. If there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about or project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or globally?
Oh, my goodness. I think it's a detachment to – it's that human disease of it's not me. You know, like it's not my responsibility, it's someone else's. And so this is kind of huge. So it's not necessarily a program or anything, but it's tap into that consciousness that everyone makes a difference. It's all of us together. It's not a lone ship that we're sailing. We are all on this planet. It's everyone's responsibility. Oh, that is my big, big thing. It makes me misty-eyed because it is so, especially right now with all of the government turmoil, you know, it's so isolating and it's so frustrating and infuriating, but it is all of our responsibility and every small act makes a big difference. Think about it every day. Recycle, plant a garden, have one plant in your house, be conscientious to how often you drive, you know, be aware of, you know, be aware of signing petitions about coal and pipelines and all this toxic, unnecessary stuff. We all have power. Be empowered. That's my thing.
I love it. And so timely, because I think that my husband was telling me they were raiding the DAPL. Like, we're talking, last night was the day they were going to go in and take out the
you know, the people in the North Dakota, the last water protectors, they were going to go remove them last night. So I don't know what happened. I haven't caught the news yet today, but I think that's so perfect that just, you know, pay attention and little, I think part of your thing is, you know, just the little steps, every little different, buy something local today or this week or something.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily going to break your budget. It's not going to cost more. It's going to be okay, everyone. But
so
yeah,
perfect.
Insurance. Thank you so much, Jackie. And hey, okay, if you're ever in Saratoga Springs, you pop on out and say hi.
Aw, I will. And if you come to Glacier Park in Montana, you say hi, let me know too. I always tell people, let me know and I'll try to meet you in the park. So, because it's fading fast. Those glaciers are melting. There were 25 years left quite a few years ago. It's down, you know, they're going quick. So people are coming. And so if you get out here, let me know. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Take care, Jackie. Bye.
If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening. And remember to grow.